All right, welcome again to the second day of our Psalm 23 journey. And again, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Psalm 23. And just as a brief recap from yesterday, we looked at Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And we discover that your shepherd is the one whom you follow. Amen. That the one whom you follow is the voice whom you are familiar with. And following the good shepherd involves carrying his cross, which leads to death to self. And the true sheep of the true shepherd do not follow strangers, for they are unfamiliar with the voice of strangers. And we looked at the second phrase, I shall not want. And we saw how God can miraculously supply our needs. That Jesus and Matthew 4:4, the Word of God, are to be our food supply. And that most people are starving in a land of plenty, for they are not feeding on the Word that God has given them to feed upon. And today we're going to look at Psalm 23, verse 2. And it says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And before we go further, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you again to open your word and to dig in it. You have hidden treasure in your word, and we can dig as far as we want to, and there is still depth below. And we can skim on the surface and still learn. But Lord, teach us to be diggers, to delve into your word, that we may understand you better, and you may have better access to our lives, that we may honor and glorify you. Be with us now. Send your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, I used to live in Southern California. And Southern California, in the area that I lived, is a desert. And I remember traveling from the East Coast, driving through Texas, which is very much desert, and then through the southern, southwestern states, and then finally coming into California. And the next day, it was nighttime by the time we got there. The next day, it just kind of seemed like there was this cloud around us, and the cloud stayed, and eventually I figured out that was smog. And we would drive around, and all the hills, there's nice hills, and there's mountains around and everything, but most of it is kind of brown. It's a desert. But amazing thing happens in December, January, some rains start to fall. And in a very short period, everything turns green. And it is beautiful. You have this nice green grass up in the hills. I used to love going off-roading with my Jeep back in those back hills. And some of those times when we would go back in the backwoods, well, back hills behind Loma Linda, I remember seeing a shepherd and his flock of sheep going to graze in those green pastures. And the sheep are happy, and they are plump and well-fed within the midst of that. But though the grass is green, though the hills have turned, their green verdure and all that kind of stuff, they are still treacherous. There are still drop-offs, chasms, and canyons. There are still slippery, sandy slopes. There are still poisonous snakes and coyotes that the sheep have to deal with. And the shepherd has to be on constant watch in order to keep his sheep safe and to consistently take them to a place where they can feed in safety. And it is only the good shepherd who will consistently lead the sheep to good pasture. The problem is, in our reality, our scenario, is the sheep like to feed in other pastures. Okay? I don't know if you've had this experience or if it's just my experience of trying to feed in other pastures during the week and then jumping into the Lord's fold on the weekend. Yeah? That has been an unfortunate reality in my life over a good portion of my life. We look across to the devil's pasture and think that it looks really good. You've ever heard the phrase, the grass looks greener on the other side? Well, there's actually a book by Irma Bombeck that says the grass looks greener over the septic tank. Okay, which would be a real reality. Although I don't know if that's the best place to feed from. All right. Yeah, you don't really want to go there. All right. It looks like it's a good pasture, but sure, there may be snakes, there may be coyotes, there may be crevasses, there may be slippery slopes, but that pasture looks really good. There may be a septic tank underneath it, but it looks pretty good. And we sheep try to be in the devil's pasture and then jump over the fence during the weekends, and we try to get the, quotes, best out of both pastures, right? Just to find out too late that we have been mortally bitten by the serpent because we have been in the wrong pasture. Whose pasture are you feeding in? Revelation 3:15 and 16 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The hot sheep stay in the Lord's pasture. The cold sheep stay in the devil's pasture. And the lukewarm sheep jump the fence. Yeah. And the sheep that jump the fence will be vomited out of his mouth. Whose pasture are you feeding in? For some help, I have identified some of the components of the pasture for your own self-examination, and it has been food for my own self-examination as well. You can't apply this to anyone else because you don't know where God has led them, where he is leading them, and where they are at in that relationship with God, but it is for us to look at in our own individual lives and scrutinize our own attitudes and actions. The first component is dress. Do you dress for modesty and health or for fashion and style? Does your dress set you aside or apart from the world as a people that are separate and holy to God, or is the world incapable of distinguishing you from them by the way that you dress? Does your dress speak to others of humility and simplicity, or does it shout pride, flamboyance, and self-exaltation? Is your dress, ladies, such that men can easily have a conversation with you without being tempted to sin, or does your dress make it difficult for men to remain pure in their thoughts around you? Does your dress say to others, look at and lust after my body? Or does your dress tell others that you belong to the King of Purity? What is your dress portraying? And I don't just mean this to be for ladies. Men can be very flamboyant with their dress as well. Diet. Do you eat for health or for taste? What is your objective? Are there parts of your diet, flesh foods, cheese, excess sugar, caffeine, tobacco, alcohol, that you know you are not supposed to consume, but you do so anyways? If so, you are feeding in the devil's pasture. Do you reflect your father, the devil, by what you consume, or do you reflect your father in heaven by what you consume? Do you reflect the world in your appetites, or do you reflect the health reform? What is your allegiance to, your tongue or your God? What are you eating? Our music. Does what you listen to reflect the worship of heaven or the service of Satan? Does what you listen to have any words or content that in any way is not in accordance with Bible standards? Does it tend to draw you toward God or separate you from Him? Can you, a blind person tell by the music that you listen to that you are a saint heading for the sanctuary or that you are a heathen heading for hell? Does the beat and syncopation of the music, even if it has, quotes, good words to it, tend toward the way of the world or to the holiness of heaven? What are you listening to? What about reading? Why does reading the Bible at times seem to be so boring and unpalatable? It's because we have become so accustomed to the devil's magazines and books that God's own precious word is untasteful to us. Ask yourself if what you read brings glory to God, or does it feed your lust or cause you to covet, or to make you wish you looked better than how God made you? Can you read what you read with a clear conscience, void of offense towards God and men? What are you reading? What about what you watch? Do you view only that which glorifies God? Or do you watch shows or movie or content that has sexual innuendos or sexually explicit scenes, with lies and deceitfulness, with selfishness and avarice, with hatred, violence, and murder, with foul language and unholy motives? I challenge you to find one movie prepared by Hollywood that does not break one of the Ten Commandments. I challenge you to find a movie that comes from Hollywood that does not, that does fit with the principles of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. 1 John 2:15 states, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What are you watching? What about news and sports? Again, I step on toes. Why do we immerse ourselves in the trash, trouble, and trivia of the world? We have an insatiable need to know what's going on in this world. We walk around with sad faces and discouraged hearts because we immerse ourselves in the troubles of this world. Turn off your TVs and open the Word of God. And read for yourselves what you need to know, because it will tell you. Get rid of your newspapers and pick up that Word of God. The news cannot tell you what you truly need to know. Only the Word of God can. As it is, we are accustomed to murder, to rape, to incest, violence, fraud, bribery, deceit. We're accustomed to the world. And why? Because we allow the world to come into our homes every single day. We allow the world to occupy our thoughts, and thus we allow the world to influence our thinking, our values, and our emotions. In many respects, we are indistinguishable from the world because we constantly feed on what the world produces. And why do we surround ourselves with competition sports? And I say this, and it will step on a lot of people's toes. No Christian should be involved in watching or playing competition sports. They foster sentiments and attitudes that are antithetical to Christian values. So why do we support something that seeks to destroy what we seek to uphold? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. We can go into time and money utilization and a whole bunch of other topics when we look at the pasture that we feed in. But we don't have time to go into those right now. Whose pasture are you feeding in? Are you a hot sheep, a cold sheep, or a fence jumper? and who do you want to be? He leads me beside the still waters. After we look at what pasture we're in, we are led to the still waters. Revelation 22, 12 through 14 and 17 says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." What a blessing. At the very end of the Bible, we have this. "Who thirsts, come and drink from the water of life freely." In John 4, Jesus was speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well. And in verses 10, 13, and 14, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You see, Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is the fountain that will not be stopped. And he offers to place his Holy Spirit within us to be that active fountain in our lives, an outpouring and an infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may become like God and we may spread his grace and his love to others. We can never be thirsty in that way if we have the fountain within us, because we have that source. When we have that intimate relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit has free access in our lives to rule and guide and direct. So why are we thirsty? He leads me beside the still waters. What a lovely scene this is. The shepherd on the hill watching over his sheep by a calm lake. They are drinking from the water. They are laying down in the green grass that's been chosen for him. And they are in the midst of that serene pasture. But it is not always a serene scene. Sometimes things go terribly wrong. Even in the midst of that pasture, storms may come. But we serve a God who is greater than the storms. In Mark 4, 37 through 39, it says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Do you think he cared? Yeah. Do you think he was worried? No. "Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" You see, Jesus did not have to yell, "Peace, be still," in order to be louder than the wind and everything. He just had to stand up and he just had to say, "Peace, be still." And what happened? There was no more wind. There were no more waves. It was peaceful and it was still. In trouble and trial, in plague and pestilence and prison, the shepherd's sheep can be at peace knowing that their shepherd can calm their storm. Amen. So it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives or around our lives. If we have that fountain in us, the water of life that is alive within us, he can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Where people can look at us and they can see the situations that we are in and the terrible trials that we are going through and yet see the peace upon our faces and can question and go, "Why? How can you have peace in the midst of this situation?" That is the perplexing nature of God's peace that he gives to us. Not that he offers us the calm pasture, which he does from time to time, but that he offers us the calm inside in the midst of the storm and the turmoil, because we know that there is another pasture that we are looking forward to, where it will be peaceful and the storm will not brew again. John 14:27 tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Be content to be a sheep in the arms of the great shepherd, because he will carry you through whatever may come your way, and he has the power to still the storms in your life. And it happens best when he is your shepherd, when you are his sheep. We know that miraculously he will supply our needs so that we shall not want, and he will lead us to his green pastures if only we will be led and we can drink at the still waters of Christ in our hearts. Let us pray. Okay, so groups of twos, and we'll have some time of prayer.